And also, one of the things that people can see on our website under the videos are some extremely interesting videos on the events of 9/11 that sort of cover what the mainstream news media will never cover, namely the impossibility of the collapse of the two towers, the North and South Tower, without the use of explosives. That there's no way that you have essentially 200,000 tons of steel coming down in free fall, virtually free fall speed, without the use of explosives. And so in some of these tapes, like Loose Change, 911 Mysteries, you can see actually what they call squib blast points as the building is collapsing. 10, 20, 30 floors below it, you can see actually material being ejected out of the side of the building, these little puffs of smoke. They call them squib blast points. These are these key columns being knocked out by preset explosives that were set in the buildings. And that's the only way that these towers could collapse. No steel-reinforced structure in the history of the world has ever collapsed due to a fire without the use of explosives, because the temperatures do not get hot enough to melt the steel. And steel melts at about, I think it's 2,800 degrees. And so with fire, you can only reach about 1,200 degrees Fahrenheit. And so it's just not hot enough to melt the steel. On top of it, inside the two towers, the World Trade Center towers, you had asbestos fireproofing on the girders, the columns. And the mainstream news media explanation for that is that when the planes hit, they knocked off all the asbestos proofing on these different columns, steel columns throughout the building. You're talking about 47 columns in the center of the building. And the chief designer of the World Trade Centers stated that if you even had the largest planes at the time that they were built, I think it was in the 1970s, which were essentially the exact same planes as a modern day 747 or 767, that it wouldn't affect the building at all. It would be like the screen door on your deck, opening and closing. Like it would be poking a pencil through that screen netting. It wouldn't affect the building at all, and it certainly wouldn't affect the 47 steel columns going in the center of the building. It couldn't bring that down. That would have to be knocked out. You have just the firefighters that went into the building stating clearly that there are bombs going off inside the buildings. Willie Rodriguez, who was the last person out of the World Trade Center, I don't know in the North or South Tower, but he was one of the last ones out. He heard bombs going off in the buildings, in the building that he was in, and he actually saw someone in the basement that emerged from the basement. That one guy came out from the basement, where the skin was hanging off his body. There are bits and pieces of his skin that were just blown off. Just amazing. And then actually weeks after these buildings collapsed, their temperatures, like several thousand degrees, just incredible heat at the bottom, that it took, I don't know, many weeks or a few months for these fires to die down. And they've actually found the presence, the physicist Stephen Jones from BYU, or used to be with BYU, he's actually released from his job once he started to put out that he was a believer that the two towers came down by the use of thermite, a metal cutting kind of agency or thing that would cut metal very quickly and allow the buildings to come down very rapidly, that he saw this molten metal that's pouring out of the building. You can see it. They have actually video footage of this, that this is the presence of this material that is used by people that bring down buildings and do explosive kind of activities to bring down major structures, that it's a very fast way of bringing a building down quickly, cutting through steel and so forth. And then also the fact that when the building is, they say it's a collapse of the building, but you see the columns ejected. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of feet sometimes, these huge steel columns being blown out. They found some of these columns sticking out of other buildings 100 yards away. There's no way that that's just a straight collapse down. That you see the explosive activity. Everything was blown into smithereens. I mean, you're talking about pulverized concrete. That can't happen without the use of explosives. And where's the building? I mean, essentially, there was nothing left. Once these buildings came, you would expect to see the floors, desks, other things. And there's nothing virtually left almost. Everything was totally just pulverized concrete. They actually show in a different video, you can watch as it's collapsing, you can see all the little flashes going off of a little explosion after explosion happening. And then, of course, you have building number 7, which was not, a lot of people don't know, 3 buildings came down on 9/11, not just 2. And building number 7 came down around 5:20 p.m. It's about 47 stories. Came down a perfectly controlled collapse. No plane hit it. They said there were a couple fires going on in a couple floors. And then all of a sudden, building comes straight down. And Larry A. Silverstein, who's the lease owner on all 3 buildings that fell on 9/11, admitted on a PBS miniseries on 9/11 that they made the decision, the fire chief, and so we made the decision to pull the building, talking about building number 7. Now, to pull the building is a term that's used in construction fields and so forth for bringing a building down by a controlled demolition. And so you see here that with the collapse of the 2 towers and building number 7, the evidence is clear. It was definitely a controlled collapse. In fact, actually, we also have information, as they show on the tapes, that weeks before 9/11, there are different security things that were done where they removed the bomb sniffing dogs from the building. There was a whole power down of the towers where all the electricity was cut. Some people saw guys with spools of wire coming in. There are certain floors that Willie Rodriguez points out that no one was allowed to have access to certain floors. You had to have a special key that he didn't even have as the guy that was sort of the supervisor, one of the people that was working and had a lot of ability to get into virtually every room in the towers. He couldn't get into these special rooms, which he said, and other people who own companies in the 2 trade towers said, that there's all kinds of construction and things going on, drilling and dust on the windows.
Yeah, that's covered in the 9/11 Mysteries film. And it's something this is an interesting topic, something we've looked at in our free time. And it's, even though it's not a religious topic, it can be valuable for a number of reasons. Number one, thousands of people were murdered. Okay, it's a major lie that's been perpetrated that contradicts the truth. And the main points that firefighters said bombs were going off in the buildings, that no steel-structured modern framed skyrise building has ever collapsed due to fire. We've had ones. There was one in Spain that burned for 24 hours. White hot fires, yeah. Did not collapse. There's one in Philadelphia. Okay, spread over more floors, burned much longer, didn't collapse. No modern building framed in steel has collapsed until these 3 buildings on 9/11. When you have all the evidence of explosives, and the official story is that it was due to the plane crashing into the building. And also they advance this collapse theory, this pancake collapse theory, that once one floor collapsed, it weighed down on the floor below it, and then it collapsed, and then it collapsed all the way down. Well, there are a couple problems with that theory. Number one, it wouldn't have collapsed at free fall speed. These buildings all came down at essentially free fall speed. It would have taken much longer than that because of the resistance of the floors. The only way it could have come down at free fall speed is through the explosives clearing the way, okay, and ejecting the material as it was going down immediately. And number two, if it was a pancake collapse, you'd have the steel core columns, as you were saying, would be standing up straight in the middle, the 47 steel core columns. It wasn't a pancake collapse, and that's why actually the material was ejected up and out. It didn't just fall down. It was ejected up and out. It was exploded up and out. So it's obviously, for anyone who looks into it, and we had no idea until we started to look into this, that the buildings were demolished, and that is quite an important piece of evidence.
And in addition to that, actually, some of the people that were interviewed that said, what did you see? Because they saw at least the second plane that came in and hit the building. Some of the people said it wasn't even an American or United Airlines flight. They said that had no windows. It was like a gray military plane. That's what they said, including Mark Birnbach, who was the Fox News correspondent. He said he saw the second plane come in, and he said that it wasn't any kind of commercial airliner flight plane that he had ever seen his whole life. Had no windows, blue logo on the front, he claimed. And so that's another very interesting point, whether they were actually even commercial airliners at all. And
also, pilots have gotten into this and investigated this issue. Architects have gotten into this, every field. But one of the things that the pilots bring up is how difficult it is to hijack a plane. That these pilots, if you get into the cockpit with just a box cutter, this is all these guys supposedly had, these terrorists supposedly, that it would be, these pilots are very reluctant to give up control of their plane at all. They would fight it out. And number two, even if he were able to get into the cockpit, that he could make one movement with the steering of the plane, which would basically throw the person to the ground. And so this, you've had pilots discuss at length how unlikely it is, even just the hijacking aspect of the whole theory, the quote official conspiracy theory.
And also you have the BBC, for example, just recently this was reported, if people haven't seen the website Infowars.com, they have a lot of very interesting news links and news updates on information pertaining to 9/11. And the BBC actually reported that building number 7, they said the building number 7 has collapsed. And the lady's reporting, and building number 7's right behind her. As she's saying that building, we have news that now building 7 has collapsed. And building 7 had not yet even collapsed yet.
It's a fact that they reported.
Yeah, it's a fact that they reported. So they're reporting in England that this building number 7 has collapsed, and the building's right behind her. You can see it right behind her. Hasn't collapsed yet. And then they're saying that it's collapsed.
And the point is that obviously an official story had been circulated to the media organs so that they would read this official story, inform the public that this was official story. But unfortunately, some of them read this official, quote, story out before some of the events occurred. And the same thing actually is documented to have occurred in the JFK, that you had people in New Zealand reading what happened after JFK was shot, reading all about Lee Harvey Oswald, and, you know, that he was the main suspect. Basically,
His whole history. You could read his whole history, like where this guy was from, what he did. I mean, it's just like an encyclopedia a portion of the life of Lee Harvey Oswald.
Before basically like the smoke had almost even cleared and it was even clear what was going on. They basically had this guy pinned all over the world as the guy who was guilty. So it's interesting. And what it can be valuable is for people who are, you know, totally pagan, who think that, you know, the devil doesn't exist, who are just oblivious going on their road to hell, that seeing something like this, seeing how the world has been lied to about an event so significant and so watched as 9/11, it can cause some people to reassess their whole outlook on things. That once they see maybe that they've been deceived on this and their lies being spread and basically most of the world is being fed a lie about this, maybe they'll start to reassess, well, what else am I wrong about? What else, you know, is going on here that I'm not paying attention to? Now, the other hand is some people get too deep into some of these aspects of what's going on today, you know, the political conspiracy and some of the deceptions that are going on in these other arenas, and they sort of lose focus of what's really important, the religious aspect and saving their souls and the Catholic faith. But one needs to have a balance there.
And what's interesting, one of the things that was in the news and commentary was the son of a conspirator who said he was a conspirator in the assassination of JFK admitted is that his father was involved with the assassination, basically. Or what exactly did he say? I think
he admitted that he was in on the conspiracy. And this wasn't reported at all by any mainstream news organ.
And then also when you look at the shooting of JFK, I mean, it's the single bullet theory. I mean, it's
so ridiculous.
It's just amazing. And they say actually the case on JFK is going to be opened up in, what, 2012 or something like that, that people get to see some documents at that point, and then probably it'll be moved back to another date. But just going back to 9/11 also, with the strike on the Pentagon, for example, there are a lot of things where that couldn't be possible unless it was allowed by people, high-ranking people who claim to be part of the U.S. government, that allowed this to happen. Namely, now, just like with Payne Stewart, the golfer who died in a plane crash several years ago, if any plane goes off course for, I think it's a few minutes, maybe 5 or 10 minutes, or I forget exactly how many minutes, not much time, you immediately have F-16 fighter planes that are up there. And you have planes that are on 24-hour, you know, flights, you know, to protect the United States of America. Well, on 9/11, they're doing all kinds of military exercises they're conducting. And apparently NORAD told us to protect the air on that day or because of the war games. And also the fact that there's a special zone of security around Washington, D.C. There are actually like two special zones of security, like Zone 1 and Zone 2. They come in, and as you go in and reach the Pentagon, there's another additional special zone of security. It's only a matter of minutes from St. Andrews Air Force Base. And then when you look at the evidence that a plane, they say actually bounced off the lawn and then hit the side, there's no evidence that a large plane hit the Pentagon. There's no evidence. Someone could maybe argue that there's evidence of a very small plane hitting the Pentagon. But if you look at the hole in the wall that they've shown, it's about 16 feet wide. You can't have a huge plane fit into that small of a hole. And if it didn't fit into the hole, then it should be on the lawn. It should be on the outside of the wall. And we have the pictures as they show them, where you cannot see a large plane. And so...
And they haven't shown one picture of this plane. The official story is that a large plane flew in to the Pentagon, and they have all these cameras all over the place. They haven't shown one photo or picture of the plane going into
the most Pentagon. Well-defended building probably in the whole world. You can see, actually, that they have actually cameras all over the place outside, and we don't have one clear picture of it.
And they've also... assessed whether this terrorist, quote, could have done the flying, that he starts out in one side of the Pentagon, and then he does this extraordinarily difficult maneuver to come into the other side of the Pentagon and hit it at basically ground level. And many expert pilots have said that there's no way that a very unskilled pilot could do this with a large jet. And he happens to hit the side of the Pentagon that's under construction, that's directly the opposite of where the top brass of the Pentagon is. And people have pointed out that the Pentagon has boasted that they have technology which would strike down any incoming missile or anything within, as you were saying, so many miles of Washington, D.C. So according to that, nothing could have penetrated that far into that protected airspace.
Yeah, as one person pointed out, that if they saw it as something that did not have a U.S. military transponder in the plane, that it would be immediately shot down. And so it had to be something that had a U.S. military transponder in it. Otherwise, it would have been immediately shot down. And so there's just, I mean, the amount of evidence is...
It's just such a fraud. I mean, what people have been told, it's just a striking lie.
And the fact that this is used as the justification for the war on terror, the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, maybe Iran in the future, all based upon the events of 9/11, is really quite amazing. Another point is that Larry Silverstein, the lease owner of the three buildings that collapsed on that day, on, I think it was July 24th, 2001, signed a massive 100-year, 99-year insurance policy on the buildings, the North and South Tower, and specifically the insurance covered acts of terrorism, and stuff like that. And only six weeks later, after he signed that huge insurance policy, you had 9/11 happen. And he actually argued that since there are two planes that hit the towers, that he should get double the insurance claim. And so he fought against some of these insurance companies, and he actually won. He won a multi-billion-dollar settlement for this event. And it's just really amazing.
Yeah, some other points of the fact that the official timeline, like people, lots of people question, how were these planes able to do this when NORAD is in control of the airspace and would have, you know, taken out or made sure that this didn't occur with these planes? And NORAD was caught giving three different versions of events, three different timelines. Okay, they're all contradictory. Okay, so basically it's a fact that they weren't telling the truth. And people have analyzed this and shown that it's quite fishy about the different stories they've been given, how these planes could have been allowed to do these things when it was well known that they were off course. Immediately when one goes off course, a message is sent and things are put into motion to stop this. And so that's why it was immediately questioned by a lot of people who look more carefully into this. But the fact that the buildings came down in a controlled demolition, and that this hasn't been shared with the people, the evidence for this has just been ridiculed by the mainstream media. It's quite revealing about the level of deception that, you know, our planet's under in so many ways.
And the level of control that these guys have over the news media so that people never hear about this information. You also even had actually put options on these actually American and United Airlines, I think it was, where basically they could see that right before 9/11, people were putting all kinds of huge sums of money that the stock value of these two companies, they said United and American Airlines, flights were used in these terrorist actions. Someone put a huge, massive amount of money in that their stock would suddenly drop. And this was never really investigated. The 9/11 Commission report said, we've looked into it and we don't think that there's anything wrong or suspicious about that.
Yeah.
The 9/11 Commission report doesn't even mention building number 7 collapsing. It's not even mentioned, I don't think.
And it also says that there are no steel interior columns in the two towers. It just says that it's a hollow shaft.
Oh, right, exactly, yeah.
So basically the supposed commission, which was supposedly in charge of investigating what really happened, was just a joke. It was just a complete joke. And people have written whole books about how ridiculous it is. Same thing with the JFK assassination. It was just a total joke.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons we have those videos on our website, and definitely worth watching.